So, I want to tell you about a show from Stitcher called First Day Back. The concept is simple. How does a person return from an event that changes them? The new season tells this story. It's a story about a woman who accidentally shot and killed her husband, but has no memory of it. That sounds crazy, right? How do you come back from the worst thing you've ever done when you don't even remember doing it? First Day Back. Subscribe now in Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy rabbits, you'll love our other podcast, Tanis. Tanis is a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Download the podcast The Guardian calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis. It's television for your ears.
You're ready when you are.
You believe your friend was playing rabbits?
She started seeing mysterious men in gray.
What did she ask you?
She asked me how many steps to the lighthouse.
Chaos there.
The streets were red, then black with blood. Blood.
Blood. That sounds poetic. Where are you now?
The bottom line isn't money or purpose. It's inspiration.
Are we still gonna have sex?
I'm afraid not.
She believed Hazel killed Emily Masters.
Maybe later.
For sure, later. I first heard about the game shortly after my best friend, Yumiko Takada, disappeared. I started this podcast because I want to find out what happened to my friend. From the Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale, you're listening to Rabbits. I'm Carly Parker. Stay with us. Okay, so before we get to the coffee shop incident from our last episode, a quick update from the police. I brought everything I had on Yumiko into the detective who had been assigned to the case, but I quickly realized that she wasn't going to respond well to my telling her about paintings that appeared to change and impossible photographs. So, rather than assault her with my mounting pile of strange occurrences, I asked her if they'd been able to dig up anything new on Yumiko's case. They had nothing. She assured me that somebody would get in touch with the family. She stressed the word family, if and when they found anything. She asked me to get in touch if Yumiko contacted me. I got the feeling they were stretched pretty thin resource-wise, and I still suspected they believed she'd taken off on her own. I knew Yumiko's brother Adam would get in touch the minute he heard anything from them, but still, I felt like I needed to remind the police about Yumiko. I wanted finding my friend to be a priority for them. It was priority number one for me. Now, back to what happened at the end of our last episode. I entered that coffee shop believing I was there to meet Jones. It turns out, I wasn't. At least, not exactly. I sat down and waited, and as you heard last time, my phone's audio recorder was running. About 10 minutes after I'd arrived, The 20 or so patrons in the coffee shop suddenly cleared out very quickly. It was strange. The place was bustling, and 2 minutes later, silence. Even the guy behind the counter was gone. Maybe to the back room or something. I should also clarify, something began interfering with my phone at this point. The audio recording became unusable static. It was really creepy. After the people left, I got up and stepped outside to call Jones, but, like I mentioned, my phone wasn't working. That's when I saw the two figures, dressed in gray, walking toward me on the sidewalk, one on each side. I don't know how to explain it, but something didn't feel right. I can't remember if they were male or female. It was strange. The image of Harry Potter's Dementors popped into my head, which wasn't good. I couldn't move. I was frozen in place. Maybe it was the situation or the intensity of the two figures, but, well, it was weird. It didn't feel like supernatural or anything. It was more deer in the headlights, with an overwhelming sense of, not fear, but more like inevitability. I didn't have anywhere to go to get away from them. The whole scene reminded me more of a movie than real life. I felt like I was watching myself, standing there, waiting. At that moment, just before the two figures were about to converge on me, a dozen kids on skateboards rolled towards me in an exuberant, youthful roar of life. I'm not sure how, but they managed to pull me along with them. It all happened in a blur. A few seconds later, we'd moved at least a block down the street, and all of the kids were gone, but one. He pulled back his hoodie. He wasn't a kid. He was about 5'11", dark hair, leather cafe racer-style motorcycle jacket over a very thin dark gray hoodie. He had deep blue eyes and a bit of stubble. He had a funny crooked tooth, but yeah, he wasn't bad-looking. At all. This is when Jones introduced himself, which you heard last episode. He pulled me into an alley, through a doorway, down a hallway, back onto another street, and finally, onto the back of a black Honda motorcycle. 10 minutes later, we were at my place. Okay, so that happened.
Yeah.
What's going on? Who were those people in gray? How did they know you called to meet me there?
Well, first of all, what's going on? That's going to take a while.
I've got time.
I don't. At least not right now. As far as who those people were, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure they were in-game participants. There's a small chance they may have been wardens.
Like the scary wardens from Rabbits wardens?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a warden?
No. Nobody has since 6.
Are they really dangerous?
And as to your third question, I didn't call to meet you.
Sorry, text.
I didn't text. I didn't set up any meeting.
See? Your phone, your number, your text.
I told you. I was no longer using that phone.
So what? Somebody texted me to meet them from an old number that you no longer use?
Yes. That's why I believe those two may have actually been participants. I have to believe the wardens wouldn't interfere so directly. At least not at this point.
What do you mean?
If they were wardens, they probably wouldn't be here now.
What the hell is going on?
What do you think? You're playing rabbits.
I'm not. I didn't sign up for anything.
That's not how it works.
Well, if I am playing rabbits, and I'm not saying I am.
Okay.
Can I stop playing if I want to?
Yes. But you're not going to.
What makes you say that?
Nobody ever stops.
What do you mean?
Are you telling me that you're really just willing to let it go? Stop searching for your missing friend?
I didn't say I was going to stop looking for Yumiko, only that I'm not playing some game.
You think the two things aren't related?
I don't know what I'm saying, but yes, I can look for Yumiko and not take part in some weird ancient alternate reality game. Can't I?
I don't think you can. You believe you've been investigating two things. Yumiko's disappearance and the game known as Rabbits.
Yes.
What if those two things are one thing?
What one thing?
The game.
This conversation is starting to feel a bit elliptical.
If you think this is elliptical, hang on. You ain't seen nothing yet.
So, if I'm playing rabbits, and I'm not saying that I believe I am.
Right, but you are.
If I'm playing, what can I win? Do I find Yumiko? Is she okay? Do I become a secret agent?
Maybe. I don't know.
No idea.
If you win the game, you get a place in the circle. The rest is just speculation.
That's it? What about Yumiko?
I'm not sure.
A place in the circle.
That's the thing most participants care about.
Why would I care about that?
You probably don't.
So why play?
For Yumiko.
That's me, but why would somebody else play?
Besides the circle?
Yes.
The money? The chance to become a secret agent, perhaps? The obscure notoriety?
Right.
Because there's supposed to be an answer at the end?
An answer to what?
An answer to everything. Life. The universe and everything.
Douglas Adams. Is there really an answer?
That's the rumor.
I heard another rumor.
Okay.
I've heard that people die playing rabbits.
I've heard that one too. You've been back to see the police.
How do you know that?
Did they tell you anything new?
No.
Did they tell you that other people have been disappearing after watching strange videos or chatting with strangers online?
No. What are you talking about?
There's been chatter, but a bunch of other disappearances all over the world.
What chatter? I haven't heard anything.
Well, you're not exactly plugged into the types of places you hear that kind of chatter.
Is there any connection to Yumiko?
I believe there is.
Do the authorities believe these disappearances are connected?
No chance. They're too spread out, too disparate.
What makes you think they're connected?
I believe that these people disappeared under similar circumstances to your friend. Strange videos, hidden clues.
Strangers who appear in real life after somehow remotely installing a chat app on your computer?
I'm on your side.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So do people all over the world normally disappear while playing the game?
Normally? Not like this, no.
How did you know I'd be at that coffee shop?
I had somebody keeping an eye on you.
What? Why?
They noticed somebody following you.
They just noticed?
Yes.
Who was following me? Those skateboard kids?
One of them, yes.
Is anybody following us now?
No.
Does that mean we're safe? Jones.
Here at the Public Radio Alliance, we make a lot of websites, because we need a lot of websites. Well, let's be honest. You already know that Nick and Terry make all the websites, and that they use Squarespace for all of them. It's so easy, and everything is so clean, elegant, and it just works. Because we use Squarespace, our sites look good wherever you happen to be looking at them. Laptops, desktops, or mobile devices. Squarespace is the best. Their incredible award-winning designer templates are the most beautiful way to present your ideas online. Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform.
There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade, ever. If you have a passion that you obsess over, like listening to mysterious underground pirate radio stations for clues to an ancient game, or knitting custom comfy bunny onesies for your online store, whatever it is that keeps you up at night, that drives you creatively, you need to get it out there. If you need a domain as well, Squarespace offers a unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. With Squarespace, you can lock down your next move idea with a unique domain and create a website to launch your idea, a portfolio to get your project out there, an online store to officially open for business, and so much more. So, share your ideas with the world. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RABBITS to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com and use the offer code RABBITS. Squarespace. Make your next move. Let me tell you about a brand new podcast called Unsolved Murders, True Crime Stories. It's a great twist on true crime and cold cases. With a staff of screenwriters, an ensemble of voice actors, and a talented digital production team, Unsolved Murders really brings these cold cases to life. Unsolved Murders is different. Think of each episode as an audio movie, with real facts and real cold cases, where, at the end of each case, the hosts tell you who they believe committed the crime. It puts a modern twist on old-school radio. Check out cold cases like The Black Dahlia, The Zodiac Killer, The Mysterious Case of Mary Rogers, or The Grimes Sisters, right now. Listen to new episodes of Unsolved Murders every Tuesday in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or your favorite podcast directory. Just search for Unsolved Murders, True Crime Stories. Again, that's Unsolved Murders, True Crime Stories. Or visit parcast.com/unsolved to start listening now. That's Parcast, parcast.com/unsolved. We ordered some Thai food and shared a six-pack. I suddenly realized just how alone I'd been feeling since Yumiko's disappearance. It was nice to have an... I don't know what to call Jones. We spoke about a lot of stuff, mostly unrelated to rabbits, which was nice. But, of course, things eventually came back around to that subject. I've heard that Alan Scarpio won money playing an underground game. He came to prominence around 1988, which, if this is true and he was playing rabbits, that would make him...
Californiac.
Yeah.
It's understood in certain circles that Alan Scarpio is Californiac.
You know for sure?
Nobody knows any of the winners' identities for certain.
Why are people convinced Alan Scarpio is Californiac?
Because when he drinks, he likes to talk.
Oh.
Seems likely that the winners of rabbits receive some type of employment or financial or other form of compensation, but it's all just speculation and hearsay.
If the rumors are true and Alan Scarpio is Californiac, it must have been a significant amount of compensation.
If the rumors are true, then yes, it probably was.
So, okay. Are we safe here? Are they going to come after me again?
If they'd known you lived here, they probably would have met you here. They must have seen you at that coffee shop at some point, I don't know.
I've been there a few times.
That's probably how they found you.
So, what now?
Now? We go see the magician.
The magician?
Yeah.
Great. The magician had a space in the back of an old brick building in the Capitol Hill area. It was part dive bar, part old video arcade. I'd actually been here before, to play video games. This place is a popular hipster bar on the weekends, lineups around the block. They have some of my favorite games, although most of them aren't working half the time. As we walked through the bar, I noticed two of the games that were working at the moment. Robotron 2084 and Missile Command. Even now, in this situation, I wanted to stop and play.
What can I say? I love arcade games. Jones led us through the arcade proper to a back room. He knocked 3 times on the door. It opened, seemingly on its own, and revealed a large rec room-style wood-paneled room with more video games and 2 pinball machines, Pinbot and Centaur. A young woman in aviator goggles stood on the other side of the door. Her name was Scarlett. She was about 4'9" with a cute button nose and green hair. Tangerine dreamy synth music played through an early generation iPod. There was an extremely tall, thin man in a light blue suede jacket, hunched over a console against the back wall. He was playing Space Ace, a Don Bluth animated game from the 80s. I was more into Dragon's Lair, but I played them both. My brother had a Laserdisc special edition. I'd never seen an actual Dragon's Lair or Space Ace stand-up cabinet until this moment. It was cool. There were a few other games there as well. Asteroids, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which was another game I'd never seen before, and Tron. I loved Tron. We sat there for 5 minutes or so as the magician finished his game. Scarlett handed me a signed release form. I pressed record, and the magician turned to face me. His eyes were sunken and coal black, his teeth the color of yellow muck. But he had a shine about him, a way of almost sparkling as he talked. And he talked a lot.
We need to know what's going on with the game.
You need.
Please.
And what do you need, my dear?
What he said.
What do you know about chaos theory?
Okay. Hello, my name is Carly Parker. I'm looking for my friend, Yumiko. She's gone missing.
He knows your name, and he knows about Yumiko.
Should I just call you Mr. the Magician?
What do you know about strange attractors?
Not much.
Okay. An attractor is a set of numerical values toward which a system tends to evolve. An attractor is considered strange if it results in a fractal.
Great.
A strange attractor represents the parameter space of a chaotic system, so each output of the equation becomes a parameter for the next step or iteration. There are things, movements, flow, what the Chinese call qi.
Okay.
I used to design games for a living. I worked at Atari for a few years, Activision after that.
The magician was involved in 4.
Let me tell it, Jones.
Is there any way to speed this up?
While working at Atari, I began noticing certain things, patterns. In 1976, just before they sold Atari to Warners, I found the rabbit hole. It was the game, Tank, which would eventually become the cartridge that was released as Combat.
Yeah, I remember Combat. My brother had that game. There wasn't much to it.
The rabbit hole remained there, in the commercial version as well. It was what we now refer to as an Easter egg. Programmers like Owen Rubin, known for including their initials as Easter eggs, were suspected, but they all denied any involvement in the frag system doorway.
What's that?
The doorway to 4. It was a virtual clue into a real-world game. There had been whispers of rabbits behind the scenes, but the last game had ended in 1970.
3.
That's right. 3. But 4 was special. I remember my first following. I went to one of the real-world entry points and followed the instructions.
What instructions?
I don't remember exactly, but it involved getting on the BART train, sitting beside the first man in a hat you saw, getting off when he did, and waiting at the station for a sign.
Sounds complicated.
It's not easy to influence the undercurrents of the world.
No, I suppose not.
I continued. I followed a man to a building, found numbers hidden in graffiti that turned out to be longitude and latitude. I went there and found instructions to listen to a specific radio station at a specific time, and eventually I got lost. It took me 3 months to find my way back in. Through a card in the back of a book in a library in Oakland, California. A few weeks later, it was over. Five started up sometime in 1979, but I was burned out, so I began studying rather than playing the game.
The magician is an expert in everything related to rabbits.
So you know who's playing and what's happening?
It's not that simple, I'm afraid. Nobody knows everything, at least not at any one time. But I can usually tell you when each game started, give or take a day or a month, or in one case a year. And I can normally tell you where it began within a marker or two. I make it my business to be aware of as many participant code names as possible, along with the most solid rumors and clues to recent markers.
Is knowing all of these details helpful?
It can be extremely helpful. I am the first place prospective players come to find out if a game is starting, how long it's been running, if there are serious complications.
Complications like what?
Like patterns in motion, convergence approaching, inflection points ignored or misjudged.
Yeah, now I think it might be getting a little complicated.
Can we get back to now? Back to nine?
In quantum mechanics, observation can often change the reality, the state of a photon or an electron. Does it behave like a particle or a wave? Well, that might depend on whether we're looking at it or not, whether we're thinking about it or not, whether hundreds of people are thinking about it or not.
Like that book, The Secret.
Manifest energy thought. If you think it, you can make it happen.
Okay, Oprah, get to the point.
As you know, the iteration of rabbits known as 8 ended in 2007.
Yes.
Since 1959, the beginning of the modern era of rabbits, there's never been more than a 4 or 5 year gap between games.
Okay.
It's been almost 10 years. Most people believe rabbits has been sleeping, waiting, as it was before 1959. Until last year, I was one of those believers.
What happened last year?
The first stirring. Hints and chatter in the deep web. Strange alternate reality games. Weird psychological events. Missing time, missing people, missing people, missing time. The usual.
That's the usual?
My best guess is that 9 began running in early 2016. I've never had this much trouble pinning the start date down. Something is different now, something that changed near the end of 8.
How many are playing 9?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
No. This is where things get interesting.
How so?
The game changed.
The game changed?
At some point near the end of 8, it became more aggressive, harder to follow. It had become far less forgiving, and there were significantly more losses.
Losses? Like deaths?
Deaths, yes, but there are other kinds of losses as well. Losing property, time, your mind.
People disappearing all over the world after watching strange videos and other things?
Yes. Of course, with rabbits, these types of events, these physical dangers are always present. That's the price of admission. But nothing like this since the end of 8. I don't know. It's as if the game has mutated or changed to fit the times, maybe.
Is it possible to see wardens involved this early?
Nobody's seen a warden since 3, maybe 6, but certainly not since then.
Right.
If you're seeing wardens, especially this early, something's wrong. Something is very wrong. You need to be careful, Jones.
Maybe you're off at the start date. Maybe 9 started earlier. Maybe the year before.
That's impossible. There's no way that I'm that far off.
You're sure?
I'm sure. 9 just started very recently. 8 was forfeited in 2007.
By Hazel.
That's right. There was no winner of 8. That was the end. until now. Do you believe you've seen wardens? It's important.
Maybe. I don't know.
Things are different this time. If you really want to know what's happening with 9, you need to look into what happened with 8.
What do you mean?
That's when things changed. If you want to find out what happened to your friend, you should start by looking at what happened to Hazel.
Hazel. What about Hazel?
Hazel was the best of them. For some reason, Hazel just stopped.
Stopped what?
Playing the game.
And you think that's when things changed somehow with rabbits?
Something happened. Yes.
I haven't been able to find much of anything about Hazel. Only that he or she was about to win the game known as 8 before, as you say, something happened.
Hazel found something and just disappeared. Something happened to Hazel, something important. And now the game is different.
We should get going.
He's right.
Is there some place I can go to find out more about Hazel or the 8th version of rabbits?
The place 8 began is here. Literally. In this room.
Where?
The game.
What, rabbits?
The game I was playing when you entered.
Space Ace?
Yes.
Okay, can you elaborate?
It was 1994. 3 years since 7 had ended. Don Bluth's game was one of the first indicators that 8 had begun.
What do you mean?
I mean the circle just appeared out of nowhere, replacing the traditional high score list on this machine, which was in an arcade in South Carolina at the time.
This machine?
This exact machine.
So the regular high score list was replaced by a list of players?
A list of winners.
Of rabbits?
Yes. At that time, the circle only included 1 through 7. When this list appeared on this machine, it included the number 8 with a blank space where the winner's name was to eventually be filled in.
So players knew that the 8th iteration of rabbits had begun?
Yes.
I stepped over to the Space Ace cabinet. The name of the game was stenciled in red on the side of the cabinet in billowing smoke. There was a high score screen, which made perfect sense, of course. Pretty much all video games had a screen where the player's high scores were listed. But this high score screen wasn't exactly standard. There were 9 numbers. Roman numerals. Next to the numbers, there were names. But no scores. 1, Mickey Mouse. 2, the Condor. 3, Allison Cat. 4, Radio Knife. 5, Carbon Thing. 6, Californiac. 7, Nova Trail. There's a dash after 8, and 9 is blank.
And that is the circle.
So these are the names of the players who won each of the games?
Yes.
But no Hazel?
No.
You've heard of the Deep Web?
Yeah.
The Darknet?
I've downloaded my share of Tor browsers. Probably more than my share, actually.
Have you heard of the subnet?
No.
Mariana's Web?
That's a myth.
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean?
I mean, yes, there's currently no such thing as a secret place deeper than the deep web that's accessible only by quantum computers.
Computers that don't exist yet.
Well, let's put a pin in that one.
Okay.
Mariana's Web isn't on the internet as you know it. It's on a hidden, exclusive intranet.
So, it's small?
Yes, very exclusive and very secure. Their encryption makes Bitcoin security coding look like the Milwaukee Public Library.
Okay, so what does all of this mean to me?
Go here. Find out.
Okay, but don't I have to physically access an intranet?
There is something between an intranet and an extranet. A system that incorporates a series of wireless transmitters, a complex relay setup. Lucky for you, Seattle is a hotspot.
Right.
Jones?
Yeah?
If you really did see the wardens, we don't have much time.
Here at the Public Radio Alliance, we send a lot of correspondence. And we signed up for Stamps.com because we wanted to save money, of course. But more importantly, we wanted to save time. Stamps.com is convenient, easy, reliable, and flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience, 24/7. So, whether you're sitting down with a friend to discuss when it comes to Nick and tennis, whether you're Team MK or Team Jeff, or you're sending fan mail to your favorite podcast, you know, the podcast about that strange ancient game with the enigmatic name, you need to save time and money. You need Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use the promo code RABBITS for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage, and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Get started with Stamps.com today, and within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RABBITS. That's Stamps.com, enter RABBITS. With Stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again. Are you getting enough sleep? Is worrying about a strange and dangerous mysterious game keeping you up at night? The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Supportive memory foam creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to be spending a third of your life on it. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. I have a Casper, and I love it. It's incredibly comfortable, and everything from the packaging it arrives in to the elegant attention to design detail of the mattress itself tells you that Casper cares about quality. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Right now, get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/rabbits and using the offer code RABBITS. Terms and conditions apply. The magician handed me a business card with one really long number on it, followed by a login and password combination. Back at my place, I pressed Jones for more information about the wardens, about the magician's warning, but he told me I should be focused on finding Yumiko, on considering the clues we had so far. The passenger pigeon, the steps to the lighthouse, and the marigold recordings, which were sitting on his laptop, loaded and ready to play. He put his headphones on and pressed the space bar. I pulled out the magician's business card and typed the long number into a search engine. And suddenly, I was staring at a flashing login screen. I typed in the login information from the card, which was two letters, N-O, and then the password, future, no future, cute. The Hazel dossier, as the website was called, was a list of links. I clicked on the first and up popped a graphic. It was an acronym, three letters, WTF. But the initials didn't mean the usual. In this case, the words beside the letters spelled out, where's the future? I clicked on the next link, which turned out to be a screen capture from what looked like a large American bank's front page. It had been hacked. The hacker had written a message in red, inside a large graphic of a scary-looking rabbit.
Some of the other links included photographs of similar images on posters taped to telephone poles, traffic light poles, and stapled onto a variety of walls in various cities all over the world. The message from that first screen capture was brief. I want the future we were promised, not the future we deserve. Hazel. The other links were filled with similar things. A diatribe about the future we were promised, something Hazel referred to as the Roddenberry, which details how we should be much further along the path to ending racism, sexism, homophobia, abolishing money, greed, and entitlement culture. Hazel talks at length in one section about how we ended up living in Oliver Stone's Natural-Born Killers, instead of starting down the path to the inclusive world of Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek. The last link I clicked brought up a photograph of an old painting. It was a dark red and black oil painting of an old Nazi SS officer holding a small dog while fires burn behind him in the distance. I called Jones over to have a look.
It's called Dog Lover in Hell.
You've seen it before?
Yeah. There's a lot of mythology surrounding this painting. It's almost like an artifact of the game.
What's special about it?
It was allegedly uncovered in 1959. It was the marker that finally confirmed the reemergence of the game.
The version that became known as One.
Yes.
So how did it become known as Rabbits instead of Creepy Nazi Dog Guy?
The images of the rabbit were discovered first. A list of rules in the laundromat, and later, other rabbits were discovered stamped on sidewalks in Brussels, Hong Kong, and Portland. This painting was kind of the final confirmation that the game had reappeared.
So, the rabbit clues eventually led to this thing?
Dog Lover in Hell.
Yikes.
Do you recognize the artist?
I don't.
It's Manet.
Right, okay. It does look a lot like Manet. Kind of exactly like a Manet, now that you mention it. But that's a century too early.
Yes, so it would appear.
You're not trying to tell me that you believe it's genuine.
I'm not trying to tell you anything.
In other news, they didn't have Nazis in the mid-19th century.
It's an interesting painting, though, isn't it?
It's creepy AF.
There's actually a copy of an alleged authentication session, but of course nobody's willing to officially go on the record.
That's not surprising, because it's not Manet.
You see the symbol on the officer's collar?
The scary birds?
Yes, but these particular scary birds have an interesting design woven into their feathers. Where there are normally just three lines per wing, here they're broken up. These, along with similar broken lines on the dog's collar, here.
So...
These lines represent a coded message.
Coded message? What kind of code?
Smitty code.
What's that?
Rumor has it that Captain Carlisle Smitty Harris came up with it in Vietnam. Harris allegedly heard it from an Air Force instructor. It was based on a Polybius square.
Like the video game?
No, not at all. It's a 5x5 alphabet matrix. Each letter is communicated by tapping two numbers. The first gives you the horizontal row, the second the vertical.
Sounds complicated.
It's dead simple. But the code isn't important. It's the message that was interesting.
What message?
Four words. The door is open.
The door is open. Jones went on to explain how that phrase was widely considered among students of the game to indicate the start. Kind of like a gentlemen start your engines thing. He seemed to believe that this phrase had been used to kick off the game for ages, from as far back as the very first Olympic Games in Greece, around 776 BCE. The door is open. Before
Before Jones went home, wherever that might be, I wanted to make sure I found out everything he knew about what had happened to my parents. He wasn't leaving until I got everything.
Tell me everything you know about what happened to my parents.
You know what I know.
I don't believe you. You hinted that they were into something. Okay, let's start with this. Why do you have their death certificates, and where did you get them?
Getting involved in the game means researching some dark corners of the world of information.
I'm getting that sense.
Right. Well, it used to mean ancient libraries, secret societies, real Tomb Raider type stuff.
And now?
Now, all that ancient stuff remains, but we also have the information superhighway to contend with.
I get it. There's a lot of information.
Right. And sometimes the relevance of that information isn't apparent for a long time.
What does this have to do with my parents?
Copies of your parents' death certificates were discovered in a purse in a train station in Prague in 2007. To be more specific, they were found in the personal belongings of a woman who jumped in front of a train in that station in mid-January.
That's impossible. My parents died on February 14th of 2007. The dates must be off.
That's what I thought. At first.
At first? What do you mean?
The available data, which includes some video footage, appears to corroborate that version of the story.
Well, that version is wrong.
A reporter playing rabbits.
I'm sorry?
She was a reporter playing rabbits, the woman who jumped in front of the train.
How do you know she was playing rabbits?
The magician and other research.
Other research. Okay. Did your other research tell you anything else about my parents? Anything at all? I'm serious. You promised to be open with me about everything.
There was something else, yeah.
Something about the reporter?
I don't know yet. It's unclear.
Tell me.
Have you heard of something called the Gatwick Institute?
No.
I found your parents' names on a signed-in document tied to a pre-screening test for a study funded by the Gatwick Institute.
What's the Gatwick Institute?
There's not a lot of information available, but from what I've been able to dig up so far, it looks like they were a kind of medical research organization. They funded a number of studies in the 70s and 80s.
And you found my parents' names on some list?
A pre-screening test, yeah.
Why were you looking for my parents' names on some medical study from the 70s or 80s?
I wasn't.
What were you looking for?
I was looking for my parents' names.
Did you find them?
Yes.
So, why was Jones looking into the Gatwick Institute? Well, I'll get into that next time, along with updates on Yumiko's disappearance and the information we received from the magician. It's Rabbits. I'm Carly Parker. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. Until then, stay safe. If you enjoy Rabbits, you'll love our other podcast, Tanis. Tanis is a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Download the podcast The Guardian calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis, it's television for your ears.
The Black Tapes is a serialized docudrama about one journalist's search for the truth, her enigmatic subject's mysterious past, and the literal and figurative ghosts that haunt them both. Subscribe to The Black Tapes by visiting theblacktapes.com or itunes.com/theblacktapes.
Rabbits is a Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale production. Produced by Hollis Adams Lane. Produced, mixed, and edited by Terry Miles and Carly Parker. Additional editorial and production assistance by Morgan Stevens. Associate producers Tara Pratt and Bailey Everett. Producer Emeritus Mackenzie Howard.
executive producers Terry Miles and Hollis Adams Lane. You can support Rabbits by visiting our website at rabbitspodcast.com and clicking on support in the top right corner. If you enjoy Rabbits, please rate and especially review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you found us. Reviews are key to keeping Rabbits on the charts where people can find our show. Thank you so much for listening to Rabbits. For legal and safety reasons, we've elected to change some names and leave others out entirely. We don't do this very often, but we're not willing to compromise people's safety for any reason. Thanks again for listening to Rabbits. Once again, join the ensemble cast of voice actors, along with Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories hosts Wendy and Carter, as they take you on an entertaining journey through real crime scenes and attempts to solve the case. Listen now on your favorite podcast directory or by visiting parcast.com/unsolved. That's PARCAST.com/unsolved.